Okay, once again, thank you to Janice for coordinating and to Eve for making her house available. And thank you for all who were able to attend. And thank you for pushing me to
come back.
Yeah, to come back because the schedule has been tight, but I particularly appreciate this group. And what I called this Shir series is Lights of Musar, because what I'd like to do is take from the text of different ones of the Musar luminaries. Baruch Hashem, we have the Jewish people's history is full of luminaries. Any single chacham would be enough for us to be inspired for a lifetime, and we have one after the other after the other, and in many different areas, in Lumdus, and Chassidus, and Musar, and each one a luminary. So what I'd like to do is take from the different, mostly 19th century great Musar works and study them a little bit, just a taste from here and there. I just want to clarify, the Musar movement, as it was known, in its time, roused a very vehement, although short-lived, but very vehement machlokas debate with great people on both sides. In fact, I'm tempted more and more to do a lecture or a mini-series of lectures on that debate because it's fascinating. There are many things to learn from it. If anything, it just shows you the greatness of Klal Yisrael, really. But I want to clarify, in studying Musar works, we are not taking sides. We are not taking sides in that debate, because most of what the works of Musar are doing is simply analyzing Agoda, studying parts of Medrash and Gemara to interpret what they really mean. What was controversial was the change in emphasis in the way they studied in yeshivas, dedicating more time, reciting things as a mantra, in some extreme instances even engaging in extreme behaviors. That I think what was roused really the greatest wrath among Chachmei Yisrael, and there were different schools of thought in regard to this. But when you study the works of the Chachmei HaMusar, the wise men of Musar, you're not taking sides in that machlokas. I think, in fact, that was what some of the antagonists felt. They said, we're doing the same thing as you anyway. Why do you have to do it in a new style? Why do you have to make a base HaMusar, a special house where this is studied? But the plain study of Musar is the study of Agoda. It's a part of the Torah. Always was studied. There always were Musar works. And what we call the Chachmei HaMusar, we're really just continuing that. So this studying Musar is not, for better or for worse, doesn't make one a Baal Musar. It doesn't make one a practitioner of the Musar schools. Halavai, were it only so. It takes a lot more than just the study of these works. But these works are a great treasure that we have. So what I decided to take first, this is the Sefer Shiurei Das of Rav Yosef. In fact, I don't think it appears on your photocopy for whatever reason. The name of the Sefer is not on the pages anywhere, but this is from a Sefer known as Shiurei Da'as of Rav Yosef Leib Bloch, who was the Rav and Rosh Hashiva in Telz. I have a picture of his father-in-law here. I don't have a picture of him with me, although they are available. There's one or two of them. This is Reblazer Gordon, the Telzer Rav. His daughter married Rav Yosef Leib Bloch, part of the Telzer dynasty. Rav Elie Meir Bloch was a son who survived the war, and Rav Gifter was married to a granddaughter. This is part of the Telzer dynasty. Rav Yosef Leib Bloch was a protagonist, an advocate of Musar, and pushed to have it in the Telzer yeshiva. That would cause some machlokas in its time, but he was a great Lamdan, a great Rosh Yeshiva, a great Rav, a great thinker. And interestingly, his Musar emphasizes different things than many of the other Musar greats. Whereas many of the others do deep analyses in Midos, what is man about, what really motivates him, and so on, his works are more philosophical, more general in terms of Hashem, Hashkacha, providence, free will, more philosophical, touching more on areas that are actually touched on in the Hasidic works. So they're somewhat different in some ways. And he was also a novel thinker, but his works are readable. So without further ado, I'd like to just to start off. We could start anywhere. It's an endless area of study, but I, for whatever reason, decided let's take a look at the writings of Rav Yosef Leib Bloch. He was born, I believe, in 1860 and Nifter in 1929. I'm not mistaken, or thereabout. And again, part of the Telz issue, the great Telzer dynasty, and he was a great man. So let's see, and I think some of his writings were actually lost. This is what we have of what they call the Shirei Das. So this first mimer, this first essay is called Kikol Bashamayim Va'aretz. If you daven in the morning and you say Vayivarech David, Psukim from Divrei Hayamim, so there's reference there in a pasuk to everything is in heaven and earth, and there's a medrash on those words, which is really why he chose that title. There's a medrash that says everything that's in heaven is also on earth, and vice versa. So let's see what he means by that and where this mimer is going. Again, I apologize that I did not make enough copies. Some of you, your copy is still in heaven. There are only seven of them down here on earth, so I apologize. Al Tira Avram Anochi Magenloch. Okay, in Parshas Lech Lecha, it's actually Machlokas, whether this is part of the Bris Ben Absarim or 5 years before, whatever it is, but Avram Avinu is told, don't be afraid, I will protect you, I'll be a shield for you. Okay, this is right after he is victorious in the war of the four kings and the five kings. He saves his nephew Lot. Famous pasuk. V'isa b'medrash. And there is in the medrash, the word isa is Aramaic for yesh. I always tell the boys in school, a tuf in Aramaic is a shin in Hebrew very often. That's why a masifta is a yeshiva. And Aramaic has extra olives. So you take the word isa, you cross off the olives. This is a simple mathematical technique. Cross off the olives, change the tuf to a shin, and you have the word yesh. Isa.
Code.
Yeah, it's not that hard sometimes to figure out Aramaic. Isa is yesh. Isa b'medrash. There isn't a medrash. This is, you can see, this is a Brachus Rabba, Parasha Mem Dalet. Rabbi Levi Amar Tartin v'Rabbonin Amri Chada. This is not so relevant to the point he's after, but Rabbi Levi says that statement is really two things. Tartin is two, and Chada is one. So Rabbi Levi says it's two things. Don't be afraid, I will protect you. Is it two things or one? Rabbi Levi, who said it's two. Rabbi Levi Omer, Lefisha Haya Avram Avinu Mispached V'Omer. In other words, don't be afraid, I will protect you. Was he afraid of something else? Or was he afraid that he needed protection? Two things or one. Again, whether it's two or one is not so much germane to our discussion. But Avram Avinu was afraid, and he said, Tomar, one could say, Osan Uchlusin, those multitudes, Shaharaktim, on the third line. I do long introductions, but once we start, we move quickly. All those multitudes that I killed, he means in the battle, Shahaya Bahem Tzadik Echad, Yirei Shemayim Echad, maybe there was a righteous person, or a God-fearing person, etc. Maybe I killed someone unjustly, or even if the situation warranted it, but maybe it brings with it some negative, some punishment. And then he skips in the Medrash. But the point is, don't be afraid that maybe you killed someone you shouldn't have, and I will protect you in case they come after you. I mean, it's two different things. Don't be afraid, number one, that maybe you did something wrong, and I'll protect you if they attack you. Point number two. V'rabbanan amri chada l'fisha haya Avram Avinu espachid v'amr. Rabbanan say it's all one. He was afraid. Of what? Yaradati l'kiv shana esh v'nitzalti. The famous medrash. Ur kastim, Avram Avinu was cast into a fiery furnace at the hands of Nimrod, and I was saved. Yaradati l'melchemas hamalochem v'nitzalti. I went down into battle with the kings, and I was spared. Tomar, one could say, Shinis Kapalti Schari Ba'ulam Hazeh. This is the line in the Medrash that he's after. Maybe I've received my reward in this world. Ve'in li klum la'asad lavo, and have nothing left in the world to come. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Altira Anochi Magen Loch. Don't be afraid, I will protect you. The commentaries on the Medrash explain that the word Magen in some places, especially in Aramaic, means reward. Don't be afraid, I have reward for you. It's all one thing. Don't be afraid, you lost your reward. There's places where mugging means reward, but your reward remains. Kol ma she'asisi imcha ba'olam hazeh, chinam asisi imcha. Everything I did for you in this world, I did it for free. There's been no deductions, nothing. Avos scharcha mesukan la'asad lava. That abbreviation is la'asad lava. Your reward is fixed for the future. Scharcha harbe ma'od. Those are the last words in the pasuk. Your reward is very great, Hainu Ma'ad Isa, or whatever exactly that it stands for, but that's what it says. in Tehillim, Marav Tufcha Asher Tzafanta L'Riecha. How great or abundant is the good that you have stored away for those who fear you. So, Avraham Avinu, don't be afraid. The reward that you have coming to you, it's stored away, as it says in Tehillim. Okay, there's the Medrash. Avraham Avinu was afraid because he was spared in Ur Kasdim. A miracle happened. He was thrown into a furnace and came out unscathed. He went into a war where the odds would have been against him, certainly, and he was victorious. Maybe I got all my reward in this world. Hashem says, no, don't worry. You have it put away. Says Rav Bloch. Ha'inyan Timur. The whole matter is inexplicable, astounding. Eich efshar lemor shahaya misyare shema kibel schara. How could it be that he was afraid that the reward that really was prepared for him, that was set aside for him in the world to come, he had already received it, that's it, used it up in this world? This is the subject this whole mimer is about. Because this is not the only place in the writings of our sages where you see this concern. That he used up, made a withdrawal on his account in Olam Haba, in the world to come, in Olam Hazen, and now he has nothing left. And it's very difficult to understand. There's an aphorism they say from Rabbi Shmuel Salanter, since we're talking Musar, mit ein tzimis, with one tzimis, a person could eat up his Olam Haba. I'm not sure in what context he meant, I don't remember now, but the same question would be, how exactly is it that with one tzimis, he used up his Olam Haba? How can that be? Third line of the second paragraph. Avram Avinu, our forefather Avram, Shehekir es Bara, who recognized his creator, Kara b'shem Hashem, called out in the name of Hashem, and machlokas what that means, whether it means he davened or he spread monotheism and teaching about God to the world. Vehodio ba'olam, and made God known in the world, v'asa nefashos la'Hashem, and he accrued souls to the knowledge of God. Kimod Isav es Hanefesh Asher Asu Bacharan, famous teaching, when it says that Avram and Sarai took the souls that they produced in Charan. So there's a famous Targum Unklus there. The Unklus translates it as the souls that they brought to Torah in Charan. And Rashi elaborates on that. Avraham Megayer es Ha'anashim. Avraham, so to speak, converted the men, and Sarah the women. They taught godliness to the world. Chazal say he was called Avraham Ivri. Simple, he was from Aver HaNohar, the other side. But Chazal say he is called Avraham Ivri because the whole world was on Aver Zev. The whole world was on one side, he was on the other. Avraham Ivri took on the world to teach godliness. Ha'im Efsha Shebahanov Akoras Ruach Zev. Is it possible that with the benefit and the pleasantness, Shehayelah, that he had, Minitzach and Dalim Malachim Batzalosah Shel Ben Achiv, of the victory in that battle, that he beat these four mighty kings, and the saving of his nephew, Yeshulam lo kol schara, that's it. All of his reward has been paid back. Uvechlal yesh letmoa, and more generally, one has to wonder, ech efsha l'shalim b'hai alma, how is it even possible to pay in this world? Hai alma is Aramaic for zeha olam. In this world, olam over, which is an ephemeral world, a passing world. Shegam haschar haniten bo eino kayim, that any sachar, any reward that is given in it is not lasting. If, you pay somebody in currency that self-destructs in 24 hours, you can't compare that to currency that lasts forever. So if we live in a world that is fleeting, and any benefit, any pleasantness, any thing that a person receives in this world is fleeting, how is it conceivable that getting something in those types of, that type of currency can take the place of Olam Haba? Sachar shumuchan Olam Haba Olam Hanitzki. How can that take the place of reward that's supposed to be in the eternal world? Shal sachar zen nemar yafa sha'achas shakoras ruach olam haba mikol chay olam hazeh. About which it says in Pirkei Avos that one moment, it says sha'ah means an hour, but it means any period of time of the pleasantness in the world to come is greater than all, than a whole lifetime in this world. So it's lopsided, obviously. It's incomparable. How can it be? His first question was almost like in quantity, but now he's asking qualitatively. Anything that one receives in this world cannot be comparable to anything in the world to come. He's taking as a given that we understand that. That's something we could elaborate on. But I think if you studied about Olam Haba, not that we know specifically how to define it, but the concept of it, if it's eternal and its rewards are eternal, how can an ephemeral reward take its place? Hainu told, he's elaborating on that Mishnah in the fourth chapter of Avos. Hainu kol ta'anugos ha'olam v'chol ha'anas, all the pleasantness, all the oneg, all of the enjoyment of this world, she'ef shelo la'adam l'tzair la'atzmo v'olam hazeh, that man could envision for himself in this world, einan shavos l'koras ruach achas ba'olam habar, not equal to one, so to speak, unit of the pleasantness of the world to come. V'imkein, and if so, eich efshe she'yekabal es kol schara hamuchan la'olam habar v'hanas olam hazeh. So how is it then possible that receiving something here should cancel, should take away what's there? Uvechlal, and again, generally, yesh lahavin, one has to understand, eich yischalev sachar olam haba al inyone ha'noos olam hazeh. How can you make any kind of exchange? Turning the page, it should be at the top now. Sorry, I copied it upside down. Page lamed dalet, just to keep you... Now we can say olam hafuch. Now it's an upside down word. Ki halo hasachar hatzafun la tzadikim la asid lavo, ein lanu bo shum musig b'tzir. It's axiomatic that the reward that's stored away, tzafun, like to say that tzafun is the hidden afikoman, the reward that's hidden away, stored away for the righteous in the world to come, we have no fathoming, no image. Kamo she'amru chazal, there's a gemara in Brachos, Kol ha'neviim lo nisnabu v'chulu. He skips a little bit. He assumes we have familiarity with these statements of our sages. But it says all the images that the prophets had, that the neviim had, are only about like the periphery of Torah. There's a number of statements in the Gemara. He's quoting one of them. It says being involved in Torah, supporting Torah, connection to Avot Talmud Chacham Atzman Ayin LaRosa, but Torah itself. The eye has never seen anything that relates to the reward of Torah. How can such reward be, so to speak, paid off, therefore, with a good chocolate bar, or even winning a war, or even a miracle that he was spared? It just doesn't add up. And to further deepen the question, Kayotze Baze. That's an expression that means similar to this. Matzina, we find in the Gemara, this is the famous chapter in Gemara called Perek Chelek, a chapter in Sanhedrin that is largely agada. It has all kinds of agadic, non-halachic teachings. And somewhere there's a teaching that says that if you encounter the same thing twice in different contexts, it means you're learning Lishma. And I must tell you that I was just preparing a Gemara for... the boys I'm teaching in school, the Gemara in Bav Metzia, Lamed Ches, I mean, I'll quote something where on the side, in the margin, tells you to look here at this Gemara to see what it means. So I am encouraged that maybe I'm doing something right. But it happened to be a big coincidence. You'll see there's a term here that only appears rarely, and it appears in that other Gemara too. Amar Rabbi Bar Brachana. So he tells us, Kishachol Rabbi Lazar, when the great Rabbi Lazar HaGadol was ill, he was on his deathbed, Nichnasu Talmidav Levakro. His students entered to be Mavakra Chola, to see him, to visit the sick. Amar Lahem, he said to them, Chama Aza Yesh Ba'olam, there's a fierce sun in the world, which I don't know exactly why he used that term, but I believe Rashi says there's a way of saying that he's suffering. He feels like it's near the end. Hischilu Hein Bochen. So his students started crying. Rabbi Akiva Masachek. Rabbi Akiva was jovial or laughing. Amru lo lama ta masachek. They said, what are you laughing? This is hardly seems a time for laughter. Their Rebbe is on his deathbed. Amru lahem, he responded, mipnei ma atem bochen. Why are you crying? Amru lo, he... said they said to him, Efshe sefer Torah shori b'tzar v'lo nivke. He said, what do you mean, why are we crying? Can a Sefer Torah, they were referring to the Rebbe as a Torah scroll, is dwelling, is in a state of pain, and we shouldn't cry? Amar Lahan, he said to them, L'kach ani masachek, that's why I'm laughing. Kol zman shani roe Rebbe, so long as I see our Rebbe, she'en yeno machmitz, that his wine doesn't go bad, doesn't turn to vinegar, Vein pishtano loke, and his flax, the produce wasn't bad. Vein shamno mavish, and his oil didn't go bad. Vein duvshano madvish, and his honey didn't liquefy, go bad. That was the word that is used elsewhere and has to be defined. They tell you to look at that Gemara. So Rabbi Akiva says, how long as I saw that everything was going well for my Rebbe, for our Rebbe, Amarti, I said, Shema chas v'shalom kibel Rebbe olamo. Maybe he received his olam, meaning his olam haba. As long as everything was going well. His honey wasn't spoiled, the wine was still good. So I thought maybe he got his olam haba. Achsho shani roa Rebbe b'tzar, now that I see him in suffering, ani sameach, I'm happy. Okay, that's the Gemara. Says Rav Bloch, v'gam kan dvar pelahu. Here too, the whole thing is a wonder. Rav Elazar ha-gadol shalo chosam min ha-Torah kula kamo shehed al atzma. You look at that Gemara there, it testified. Rav Elazar wasn't missing anything in Torah. He mastered the entirety of Torah. He taught all of Torah. Sheshtei zero osav nimshalu kishnei sifrei Torah. His two arms were analogous to two sifrei Torah, as the Gemara says there. Rabbi Akiva Talmido, and Rabbi Akiva, his student, Bevada Hisig Veyoda, Godless Rabbo, he certainly grasped and understood the greatness of Rabbo HaGadol, of his great Rebbe, Vitzitkoso, and his righteousness. Vechoshvo Bein Ela HaTzadikim Shalem Nemer Shescharim Ayin Loros, and certainly he would consider him among the righteous, about whom it says that the eye, no prophetic eye has ever seen the nature of the reward that lays ahead for such people. B'tanugim v'hanos nitzchi muchanla, an eternal olam haba is put aside for him. Klum efshe shetala machshava kazos b'libo. Is it possible for such a thought to come up in the mind, in the heart? Shekibo rabo es olamo, that his Rebbe has already received his olam haba. He's gotten his reward. B'zeshu chai b'shalva, the fact that he's living tranquilly. Ah, good. The honey is not spoiled. Vein lo dagos v'tirdos, and he doesn't have worries and concerns. Hamafrios es ha'odom emnuchaso, that annoy a person, that disturb a person from his tranquility. When it was all going well for Rebbe, I was afraid that was his reward. Now that I see that he's suffering, oh, thank God. It's very hard to understand. Hayitachin shebetanugim ba'anos p'chuse erech ka'ela. Is it possible that in pleasures that are of such low value, p'chos erech, meaning of small value, yeschalef lo scharo hanitzchi, that should exchange, that should switch, that should take out his eternal reward. V'lo od, and furthermore, ela sheba'emes e efshe shetia la'adam hano shlema ba'olam hazeh. This is a point that when we studied the Geshar Chaim, we saw, does man ever really have pure joy, pure hana'a in this world? Every pleasantness that man has comes with worry. If it's good now, what will be tomorrow? If it's good for him, but he's worried about his friend, his relative, his colleague, there's no absolute goodness. We have many things to worry about. Even when, thank God, things are well, there's always something to worry about. There is no pure state of goodness in this world. It's the nature of Olam Hazeh. Shelo yis'arvu bo tsa'ar v'daga, that there's no pain and worry mixed with it. Who is it who lives in absolute tranquility in this world, a world that is full of pain and incidents, bad incidents? As the great work, the Mesilas Yesharim, most classic Mutzar Sefer, writes, what is the life of man in this world? Who is it who is entirely happy and shalev is like from the word shalva, tranquil in this world. We don't mean to sound dour, but goes with Musar. Yemeshna saying about him shivim shana vim begur shmonim shana. He lives 70 years, 80 years, whatever it is. V'rabba ma'avol v'avan, and in the haughtiness, it's toil. V'kama min etzar v'chaloyim v'machovim v'tirdos. There's pain, there's illness, pain. Disturbances. V'acher kol zos hamavis, and then it ends. Echad min ha'elef lo yimtza sheyir b'ha'olam lo hanos v'shalva amitis. What he's looking for is pleasantness in olam hazeh, in this world. One in a thousand doesn't find it. V'gam hu ila yagi l'meya kfar over batal manol. And then if he has long life, he's already, he uses an expression from Pirkei Avos, he's over batal. And after a certain period of time, he doesn't really enjoy it anyway. So olam hazeh, the point there is that that can't be the destination, that can't be the goal. But his point here is, And how can we suggest that the rewards, the pleasantness in this world, take the place of the reward in Olam Haba? Doesn't add up. Next paragraph. Misaper Malhagon Bal HaShagas Aryeh. The great Shagas Aryeh, who was the first Rebbe of Reb Chaim of Volozhin, great, great posek in London. So he started out in Volozhin, and then he got a rabbinic position in Metz. And Volozhin was very, very poor, and they lived very, very austerely. You know, today in Yeshiva, living austerely is, you know, I didn't have the name brand cereal that I wanted, but that's not what they were talking about. So they had lived extremely, extremely poorly. V'sholchulu b'nei adoso harbe matanos. So he tells a story that's recorded that the new city, when he came to that rabbinic position, they sent him many gifts. Ra'as ishto shehimitz ta'eres uvocha. So he saw his wife was very upset about it. She was crying. U'v'sholchulu lama hibocha. When he asked why she was crying, heshiva lo, she answered, maybe that word is supposed to be Shema. Shema Yenukal Hemechalkam Olam Haba. It's probably supposed to be with an Aleph at the end. That maybe this will be a deduction from their share in the world to come. You know, they got maybe some Ragalach. Vayigarba Vayomer. He rebuked her. He said, Klum Bahavalam Kaelu Yisham Musachar Olam Haba. He said, what are you talking about? No such thing. By the way, this story is also recorded. The Torah Tumimah records this, or Baruch Halevi Epstein in his Sefer Makor Baruch, that when they came to this new rabbinic post, this is a famous story, I've heard it in the name of Gedol Yisrael too, they used to have a practice that the new Rav would welcome the leaders of the community, and he would put out coffee and things, but they didn't want to make the him pay for it, so they would they sent over the food, the refreshments, and then the Rebbetzin put it out, but it was sent over. So what happened was she put out coffee, and they all sat there, and nobody really drank too much of the coffee, and then for dessert she put out sugar cubes. And afterwards they told her about this faux pas, that the sugar cubes were supposed to be with the coffee, and she explained, where I came from, we didn't have sugar cubes and we didn't have coffee. So she had no experience with either one. That's a true story. But this story is also indicative of the nature of how they had lived. So he tells her, these vanities, this is nothing, that don't have no fear. This will not take away anything in Olam Haba. It was obvious to him that you know a good snack is not taking away anything from your Olam Haba. It doesn't register on the scale. Okay, some Gemaras, some stories. Now he approaches his answer. Bechlal yesh lanu ladas. In general, we have to know ki af b'divrei Chazal sheyefshar lanu leirid l'sof da'itam v'kavanosim. Even in words of our sages, where it's impossible for us to fully understand what they mean or to understand everything that they've said in that context, ve'ein anu mevinim osam b'chol hakeifim v'eskol pratim, and we don't understand them in all of their breadth and with all of their details. But srichim anu lekabel as hachelik shanu mevinim. But we have to accept the part that we do understand. V'shen es bara lanu kefi pshutan shel hadvarim. And it has to be clear to us per the simple message. This is a point that the Bali Musar emphasized time and again, is sometimes when people don't understand something, so they make it mean some allegorical or abstract. They take the Torah and take it far away from what it means. The Bali Musar, if you study their works carefully, keep emphasizing the words of our sages have a real and a bona fide, so to speak, literal. I mean, I don't mean literally literal, but a very real meaning. Don't turn it into something allegorical for something, even if you don't understand everything they said. So, ulhislamid means that we have to learn from it, vayidei arzeh, and from this light that we'll get from first processing the part we do understand, hamazir mitoch devrei makdoshim, that radiates, that gives light from their words, from their holy words, shezachinu lahargishim, that we're able to feel them, Yokel lanu, going on to Lamed Hay now, Yokel lanu harbe l'hagia l'havona yoser amuku nesa. That will help us. It's incremental. there's a part of it that I think I can understand. I process it, and from understanding that, that will shed more light that then you're able to grasp the part that initially seemed elusive, that seemed beyond our reach. And to be able to penetrate into the soul and the truth of the thing. You know, sometimes you can only first get the periphery and then you penetrate further and further. But if we don't take the first part of it, we say, well, I don't understand all of it, so I'm not even going to contemplate any of it, then you never get to the light of it. We're not permitted. By dint of the fact that we don't understand all the details, la'akmam, to contort them, to twist them, ulohatziyam imashma usam, and to bring them out of their real implication. I saw a teaching of our sages, and I couldn't quite make sense of it, so I said it means something like this, you know, twisted it into a pretzel. That's not right. Take what you do understand, work at it. I've mentioned a few times Rav Zelig Epstein, that's all, when he was talking on Rabbi Rucham Levavitz's Yartzeit, his great Rebbe, the Mirror Mashgiach's Yartzeit. He said when the Mashgiach would give us a lesson, a shmooze, a mimer, at first what he said was so difficult we couldn't figure out what he was talking about. Then we would work it through and think about it and talk about it. Then we grasped it, and then we grasped it to such a degree that we couldn't figure out what we didn't understand in the first place. And he explained that, he said, because Musa is like a candle, and when you light a candle, so now that the new candle gives light on its own, it's no longer drawing from somewhere else. The whole idea of Musa is to bring out what's already within you. It's already in the neshama, and it's to bring it out. But it takes a while till you tap into it. So we have to constantly be tapping into the light and bringing out more light. All of Musa ultimately is about man. The Torah is about man. So he has to look in himself and figure out. You read the Torah to figure out what's really inside. But once you brought it out, then it doesn't feel like something external anymore. It's something from the inside. So he's saying the more light we shed, the more light we have to see further. So that's like his introduction to this. And he says, Kvar nisbara lanu zeh kama. This has already been made clear to us for a while. Ki inyan sachar va'onesh. That the concept of reward and punishment, and this is a basic concept you see in many svarim, ein zeh rak tashlumin ba'ad ma'asei adam upuloso. This is not a compensation, merely a compensation for man and his actions. Meaning, you get a ticket and you cash it in and you get a prize. It's not that, that would be a compensation. Oh, you got a check? That's worth 5 points. You get, I'm just thinking Cholamoid when the kids go to these arcades and for $100 worth of games, you end up getting a little teddy bear that's worth $1, right? Here it's the opposite. But the point is, it's not that you go with your tickets and you cash them in and then you get something else. Or for a bad action, God forbid, you know, he gets a punishment as compensation. That's the key line. Because man's actions in relationship to its reward are not two different things. Two dvarim nefradim, two separate things. Ela hamasa ba'atzmo ha'nesa ayedei ha'adam yotzer olamo shel ha'adam b'elyonim. Rather, man's actions, what he did himself, creates his olam haba. The mitzvah is the olam haba. It's not that mitzvah is a good thing and now you can cash that in for reward in the world to come. This we spoke about in the Geshar HaChaim and another svarim, really spoken about in many early svarim. In fact, the Ramban and the Malbim actually commenting on that parsha that he started with. What happens there? Hashem promises Avram Avinu reward. Avram Avinu says, well, what are you going to give me? I have no children. So the commentators ask, and then Hashem answers him, no, you will have a child. Which seems to indicate that his question was a valid one. Hashem says, I'll give you a reward. He says, well, you can't give me anything. I have no children. If you give me a great estate, I'll have no one to pass it on to. So the Ramban asks, why does he assume that the reward was in this world? Mm-hmm. I meant you can get a big olam haba. You see that Avram Avinu asks a question, and Hashem validates the question, has to answer him. So the Ramban answers, and the Malbim elaborates on it, because that's not called reward. When Hashem says, don't worry, you have a lot of reward, that's not talking about olam haba, because that's not reward. That's what you are. You know, Avram Avinu made his character great, and that's what remains with him in the eternal world. That's not reward. That's what he is. When Hashem said, I have a special present for you, I have a special reward, it had to mean something here to continue the legacy on earth. because what he was, what his soul was, that's automatic. That's inherent. That's, as the Malbim puts it, it would be like saying, you know, study this work and I'll give you, if I could say I'll give you a reward, I'll give you $100. But if I say study this work and I'll give you a reward, that you'll know this work. Study the Torah, I'll give you a reward, you'll be a chacham. That's not reward, that's what you are. So it's really like that with everything. What a person makes of his soul, that is what he is, that's not a reward. So that's what he's saying here. The action itself is the world he created. He created his eternity. By his actions, he reaches the world to come and brings with it what he's made of himself, this blessing. He brings blessing to the world, it comes particular to him. He's connected to a world that was created by his actions. Turns out the action itself already includes within it the reward or the punishment. When our sages say the reward for a mitzvah is a mitzvah, that's what they mean. It's not something else. You cash in for A, you get B. That's what it is. So, but here is the novel idea that he wants to develop based on that, which is going to answer all of these sources in Chazal and others, really. The Hanira Lomar Davar Chadash, what appears correct to say, is something that, a little bit novel. Uchishinis Bonin B'ma'amore Chazal. And when we will contemplate, analyze the words of our sages, unadaktik b'divreim, and will be exacting in their words, akdoshin, their holy words, nira ki emesu, this appears to be correct. Ki inyan sachar va'onesh hanitan lo la'odam ba'olam hazeh, eino bo b'tor tashlum v'nikoi kineged ha'sachar magia muchan lo'olam haba. Any reward or punishment that man gets in this world doesn't come in the realm of, in the role of a payoff, a compensation, or a deduction from what's prepared for him in the world to come. This is going to be a run-on sentence, so I'm going to summarize it and then read it inside. What his chiddush here is, and it's a little bit abstract, but he shows it makes so many words of our sages fit in and make sense to us, where otherwise they wouldn't, is that when a person receives the concept that he's talking about of man receiving his Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh is not a payoff. If it would be a payoff, it would be impossible. As he formulated the question, what can you be given in this world that would equal in value in the world to come? Chazal say it's not possible. Our sages say this world is ephemeral. There's nothing so good in this world. So he says it's not a payoff. What it is, and this is, he has a philosophical mind, and this is an idea heaven in halacha in some instances, but here we use it in the Haggadic realm, it's the same thing. It's his Olam Haba put in Olam Hazeh, that's how it appears. I didn't phrase that very well. If I had a proper mushal, and maybe you can help me, it would be better. But this is a bad mushal. But if a person has a retirement, if you take it when you're in this tax bracket, it's highly taxable. If you take it in that tax bracket, you pay. It's the same thing. It's just that if you put it in this realm, it looks like this. If you put it in that realm, it looks like that. Now, that's a bad mushroom. That's with regard to taxation. But if you could have the same item that, I don't know, on dry land looks like this, and in water looks like that, that's also not a good mushroom. I don't have a good mushroom. You have to help me out. But if you can think of one, it'd be helpful. But the point is, it's not a payoff. It's not that we're saying, here, take this instead of that. It's just that if you withdraw that world in this world, that's what it looks like.
It appears different. It appears different in this world than in the next
world. But his point is, it's the same thing. We wanted to say we want to pay someone an Olam Hazeh instead of him getting his Olam Haba, there would be no currency, there would be no possibility of doing such a thing. But if a person decides, I want to take my Olam Haba, Olam Haba exists. It's sometimes called the Olam Hagonas. It's stored away, but it exists. It's there. If a person, for whatever reason, would want to take it in this world, so the only currency that it's payable in is pleasures of Olam Hazeh, which, of course, don't measure up, but that's what he opted to take it in. Yeah.
I don't know if it's a mushal, but like where my head's going, it's like, Tamar Nafshi Vavur Kim Kelchai. thirst is a physicality. But the understanding that you can say that sentence that you're having a physical experience of something that's totally.
It's amazing that you say that. It's amazing you say that because that is, you're already two classes ahead. That's fantastic. What he branches into is exactly that theme. We think there's this worldly type things, and then there's Olam Haba type things, and they have nothing to do with each other. He says, no, it's actually not so. Actually, the main address of every concept is in the world to come, and we see a little trace of it down here, and we're all impressed. We think, yeah, I'm thirsty, and I drank some water. But he says the mere fact, he doesn't use your example, but he uses, as far as I recall, maybe he does, but he uses many things like that. The fact that a person can say, we use the term for somebody who's doing well spiritually. He's a ben aliyah, a bas aliyah, a person who's elevating. What do you mean elevating? Elevating in Olam Hazeh means you're on a stair, you know, you're on an escalator, and you're going up. Your altitude is rising. What does that have to? Why do we intuitively feel you can use that in Olam Hazeh terms? What do you mean thirst for? Thirst is, ask a doctor what thirst is. He'll explain it to you. It has nothing to do with the spirit. How is it that we intuitively feel that you can use physical terms for spiritual things? The answer is because your neshama is connected. Man's neshama is connected and knows that it is the tip of the iceberg. All that we see in Olam Hazeh really is just the tip of the iceberg of something much larger and greater. As a part of that, what he's saying is, therefore, it's like that with everything. That's a much broader concept than we realize. And he says, and he'll talk about why this could happen, but if a person were to take their Olam Haba in Olam Hazeh, then you take it in those meager terms. If instead of thirst for Hashem, it's thirst for kiwi, strawberry, snapple. So, okay. So it doesn't quite, it doesn't measure up. That's exactly what, when it's translated into Olam Hazeh, the same thing. Again, not a payoff. If you wanted to offer, if you're going to do it as a payoff, I'm going to give you something else instead of that, there would be no possibility because, the scale, you know, like when there was hyperinflation, you come with wheelbarrows full of money and you still can't buy an apple. There'd be no amount of currency. But once you say, no, it's the same thing, and this is the way it looks in Olam Hazeh, this is the way Olam Haba looks in Olam Hazeh, and he's going to talk about a Rasha, a person who denies Olam Haba and says, no, there is no such thing, and therefore whatever I deserve, give it to me here, that can warrant, Hashem said, you want it here? You actually had something much greater, but you want it here? Okay, well, this is what it looks like down here. I'll talk about instances, reasons why a person would make that kind of a withdrawal. But his main chiddush is that it's not something else. If it would be something else, then all of these questions remain. But once you say it's the same thing, that makes it a little easier to understand. Yeah.
Closest thing that I can relate to is that there are two things that I eat on Shabbos that don't taste the same when I have it during the week. Challant does not taste the same. Even if you're making it fresh during the week, right. You have it in a restaurant or something, doesn't taste the same. And grape juice. There's something about that grape juice and you make kiddush with it, mm-hmm. that you take, I'm going to have a glass of grape juice. I'm really thirsty right now in the middle of the week.
I'm going to eat gefilte fish, I think. In all seriousness, that could be a function of that on Shabbos you're feeling the... Yeah. Me'ein Olam Haba behind it, because there's a vestige. Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba. Shabbos is the tip of the iceberg of Olam Haba, and therefore, in the physical world, we're feeling a little bit of the spiritual. But that's exactly it. That's an idea that he elaborates on. So he says it's the same thing here. If it would be a payoff in different currency, there'd be no currency that could be given. But once you say it's the same thing, and if you choose to take it in Olam Hazeh, or for some reason it's decided to give it in Olam Hazeh, that's what it looks like. It makes the whole matter much easier to understand. So just try to wrap up this paragraph. I'm in the third line of the second full paragraph on Lamed Hey. She'im hayasachar zeh nikui neged hasachar elyon. If this reward were some kind of deduction from the reward in the world above, there would be no way. You take $1 million, it wouldn't be a deduction of 1 cent in Olam Haba, so to speak. Since if you evaluate it, this is not comparable in any way to that. What do you mean? How can you make him lose from that if all you gave him was this? Rather, what it is reward and punishment the man gets in this world. He's not taking something else. He's taking that thing. But when you pull it down into Olam Hazeh, this is what it turns into. Okay, only mashal I can give is to treat it like a physical thing. In Olam Haba, here it is. It's this sphere up in Olam Haba. In Olam Haba, it's radiant. It's eternal. If you schlep it down into Olam Hazeh, if you pull it down underwater, this is what it looks like because you've turned it into a different realm.
You could say like your analogy, water. It's water down here, but up there, it's Ruchnius.
Right. It's this. It's in a physical world. This is the only thing that it can be. I'm going to jump ahead because we're going to run out of time. But he has. A beautiful example of this. In fact, let's skip ahead to Lamed Vav, the bottom paragraph on Lamed Vav. B'medrash Rabba and Pekudei. This is a Medrash and Pekudei. It tells a story. Ma'isa b'Rav Shimon ben Chalafta. That abbreviation, the bottom of Lamed Vav, is Rav Shimon ben Chalafta. Shaboyer of Shabbat, you may have heard this story. He came on a Friday, v'lo hayalo, me'ayin l'sparnas. He didn't have from where to get parnas. He didn't have money to pay for Shabbos. Yotza lo chutz la'ir, he went out of the city, v'hispal lifnei ha'alokim, and he davened to Hashem, v'nitan lo evan tova min ha'shamayim, and he got a precious stone from heaven. A diamond came down. Nasna l'shulchani, he gave it to a money changer, he got change, v'pirnei sosa Shabbos, and he was able to pay for a nice Shabbos. Amra ishto mehechan elu. So he came back from Acme, giant, with a car full of stuff, and I said, where does this come from? Amar lo, he said to her, Mimasha Pirnes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Eberster took care. He said, God took care. She said, no, you're not talking vague to me. Amra Meina Ta Omer Li Mehechen Hain, if you don't tell me where they're from, Eini Toi Mes Klum, I'm not going to taste it, I'm not going to eat a single bite. So his Chum was Sapar lo. So he started to tell the story. I went and I davened, and the stone came from heaven. This is how I davened before Hashem. V'nitan li min Hashemayim. It was given, and this is what was given from heaven. Amralei, she said to him, Eini to'emes klum ad she'tomeli she'tachzira mutzai Shabbos. I'm not going to take a bite until you promise me, or you tell me you're going to return it mutzai Shabbos. On Shabbos, you can't give it back. But after Shabbos, give back the change. I guess it was for a diamond, you can do more than one run to the store. So you have to promise me you're going to give it back. Amar lo lama, he said to her, why? Amar lo, she said to him, Ata rotsa shehi shulchan chachasa v'shulchan chaver chamalei. Do you want your table to be empty and the table of your friend to be complete? Meaning in the world to come, you're going to have an empty table. V'halach Rabbi Shimon. The Hodiyah Ma'asa L'Rebbe. So he went and he told this story to his Rebbe. Amar Lei, so he said to him, Leich Emor Lo, Im Shulchan Chachasa Ani Amalenu Mishali. Go tell her, if your table is empty, I'll give you some of my potato kugel. Okay? If you're going to be lacking in the world to come, I'll give it for my own. Halach V'Amar Lo. So he went and he told his wife, but she's a tough cookie. Amar Lei, Leich Imi L'Mishalim D'Chatar. That's it. Come with me to your Rebbe. What did he tell you? Come with me. She's an Isha Chacham, obviously. Amra lo Rebbe v'chibroa adam l'chaver l'olam haba. She said, excuse me, you say if our table's empty, you're going to provide, and does one see his friend in the world to come? Lo kol tzadak v'tzadak havalei olam ba'atzma. Doesn't each person have his own world? That's a whole idea not for now that we say halach l'olamo. He quotes the pasuk in Koheles. Each person goes to his own world. It's not like some big collective. Each person creates their own olam haba by their unique actions in this world. So what do you mean? You're like, we're going to be standing together? Olamim enksiv ela olamam. On the bottom line, it doesn't say world. It says his world. Each person goes to his own world. So she put up a good fight. Kevan sheshama kain. Since he heard this, halach v'hichzir. So the Rebbe went. I believe it's the Rebbe, not Rav Shimon ben Chalafta. Maybe it's him. I'm not sure which one. And he gave it back. He gave back the stone. Rabbi Seinu Amru, and our sages say, Hanes Ha'achron Hayakosha Min Harishon. The latter miracle was harder than the first one, meaning giving it back was harder than taking getting it down in the first place. Kevin Shaposhat Yadullah Zira, once he put out his hand to take it, Miyad Yard Malach Vinat Lahimeno, an angel came and took it back. Lama Sha'in Matan Schar Shal Torah El Olam Haboli Yom Achron. Why is it so difficult? Because the reward for Torah is only in the final day. So just to wrap it up, he explains this both in the footnote, I think, from his son, maybe, or son-in-law, and in the text. What's happening here is that, again, really, the reward in the world to come is of such a different nature, a different realm. To transfer it into this world is a big kunz, is a big trick. But he had davened, said, give me something from that to pay for Shabbos. She didn't want, again, you'll ask the question, what do you mean? That's not any reduction. But the answer is, yes, it is a reduction. If you actually take from the Olam Haba, you've taken it away. It's not that what you got in this world was equal to that, but you took it out. You took that very item and took it out of Olam Haba. So when the Shagas Aryeh tells his wife, don't worry that they sent us some presents when we came to the rabbinate, what he was saying is, that's not a reduction from our Olam Haba. It's not worth anything. But if you actually, in the instances, and you have to study Chazal carefully, the words of our sages, where there's a concern that it actually might be a person's real Olam Haba being brought down into Olam Hazeh, that's where there's this concern. So particularly in that story, where, I don't know exactly why, but for whatever reason, the result of his tefillah was to actually schlep down something min hashamayim from his reward that was set aside in Olam Haba, that's where there's a real concern. She's right. She wins. And that's why it's particularly difficult to give it back. He writes in the footnote, the idea that you're able to give it back. The money changer in Shemayim says, excuse me? You're giving us what? For the? So that's why Hanes HaAchron HaYakoshim and Arisha, because it's hard enough to make the transfer one way, to make the transfer back. I'm sorry, we don't accept your third world currency up here. Right? And it's short arts. Yeah. But to even get back, even in any form, that's right. But the concept he's saying in some ways is simple, in some ways is very deep. It's really a corollary of, as we said before, it relates to a much broader concept, but it really helps us understand. If you study carefully, there are a lot of places in Chazar where there seems to be this concern. Now we have an approach to understand it. Nothing in Olam Hazeh is worth anything vis-a-vis Olam Haba, but there is such a thing as withdrawing one's Olam Haba. As I said before, the place where it's of particular concern is if a person shows, no, I only value this world, I have no interest and no belief in God's world, God forbid, that can say, oh, you want it here? I can give it here. That's where there's this concern. And that's what it means in all those places where a person has this concern. Not that there's really any comparison between the two, but there is such a concept. Since Olam Haba is real, it's not you cash in then. It's a world that exists now. It's Mukhan. It's a real bank account that exists now. The problem is if you take it in the wrong kind of currency, that's where this can happen. So I think that gives us an approach to an important concept in the teachings of Chazal. It certainly has relevance to the way we think about Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. And I thank you, and Mirza Shem will continue next week.
Yeah. I understand that some Rishayim don't get this award. They get the award here, so they have to go to the
board. Right.
But they take nine Olam Haba. Why does not just fall on the ground?
Well, if they want to withdraw the whole thing here, that can happen.
But is it their choice to withdraw, or is it given to them with
it? It seems to be there can be a type of sin or a type of attitude or statement where that's what he's saying to Hashem. He actually, I skipped it because we ran out of time. He'll come back to it next time. But that's what can happen. Yeah.